Okay, Ron, thank you so much, and good evening, everyone. It's good to see you, good to have you with us. And to get back into the study again and look at a few more of these verses that the Apostle Paul was telling to Timothy. And the subject matter is one that's pretty widespread. But looking at what Paul is telling Timothy and looking at what Jack Everly wanted us to look up to through the Workman's Interlinear, it is a very wide kind of a copulation of verses, because the subject matter is that it would be almost impossible to think about every situation that would be taken up with widows and people that, you know, was needing help with their lives when their mate left them or died or whatever, you know, in that situation. And to realize and understand that, you know, even 2,000 years ago, man was supposed to be able to take care of those things in a way that would be pleasing to God. And sometimes we don't really consider these things when we're looking at God's Word or studying God's Word, but this is an important thing that we're looking at here, and to realize and to understand that, you know, there's just no way we could get into all the elements of things that might come up with assemblies or groups, but that there is, a situation that we're supposed to deal with in terms of understanding and love, and to honor these people that are either our kin or somebody else's kin that might be in need, that don't have all they need to make it on. And of course, it's been that way all down through time, I guess, but sometimes we don't really give it the necessities that, we need to do, unless it's right close at hand, like next door or down the street somewhere here. But here we go. Now, 1 Timothy 5, verse 2 through 16 deals with widows or people that either haven't got married or maybe were too young at a time to get married. And so we were dealing with a real mixed up group of things, but here we go. And today's study is 146 in our study in 1 Timothy 5, and we got down through verse 5 last time, and we're going to pick up 1 Timothy 5:6, and we talked about the widows indeed that were desolate and trusted in God, and widows that have children and were trying to help take care of them either in their own house or someone else's house. And but here we start out tonight talking about a widow that evidently don't believe in the Lord, or she has forsaken that and living a way that she wants to live, even if she had been married to somebody that had, you know, been a believer. And so we start with verse 6. It says, but she that liveth in pleasure is dead while she liveth. I know that's a short verse. And I'm going to read in the note, but it's basically pretty much the same thing. But she who chooses to liveth in self-pleasure is dead while she liveth. In other words, that's what I had written. And so people make choices, and sometimes the choices is not what God would hope that we would do, but nevertheless, that's the way it seems to be, because even in dispensations further back, they had some that would believe and some would not believe, so that don't seem to ever change much. But I'll read what Jack wrote, and he didn't write a lot in this one because it's a pretty short one. But to read it down out of the Koine Greek is pretty much what we've already mentioned. It says, she but who lives in self-pleasure, living is dead. And it's pretty much the same way pulled into the English, the more modern English. And then here's Jack's note. It says, life and worldly pleasure is only life in appearance. Is appropriate quote from Holtzman. And I didn't get a chance to look up and see who Holtzman was, but, evidently, he had taken up this subject sometime and made a quote on it and said, life in worldly pleasure is only life in appearance. The widow who does not live the fullness of the godly life has only a shell of pleasure, which are momentarily and ethereal. This poor superficial one has not found life to live in. And so there's three places that Jack asked us to look at there to get this verse down pat. But the fact is, there are some people who chooses to live their own way and don't think about the outcome of it. And I think this is basically what we're looking at here. And so there's three places we need to look at. We need to look at Ezekiel, the book of John, and James over toward the end of the scriptures. So let's go to Ezekiel 16. We're going to look at 44 through 49, Ezekiel 16, verse 49. And that is on page 1126, if you have a companion Bible. Ezekiel 16. And I've got it marked out here. And what did I say? 40. Start with 44. It says, behold, everyone that useth proverbs shall use this proverb against thee, saying, as is the mother, so is her daughter. I guess we could put that in a situation of an old wives' tales. But a lot of times, and I've been guilty of doing this too, saying, well, if you want to see what your wife looks like, look at her mama. And there's some truth to it, but it doesn't stay that way all the time. Okay, but here in Ezekiel, it was used, thought it had some merit there because that's where we get that from. It says, thou art my mother's daughter that loweth her husband and her children. And thou art the sister of thy sisters, which loatheth their husband and their children. He says, your mother was a Hittite, and your father an Amorite. And thine elder sister is Samaria, she and her daughters that dwell at thy left hand, and thy younger sister that dwelleth at the right hand. And Sodom is Sodom and her daughters. Yet hast thou not walked after their ways, nor done after their abominations. But if that were a little thing, thou wast corrupted more than they in all thy ways. And then 48, it says, as I live, saith the Lord God, Sodom, thy sister, hath not done, she nor her daughters, as thou hast done, they and their daughters. So, you see, you get a lot from your family sometimes that you don't really need or want, but that's the way that works on occasion. And I know I had to back away from some of the things that I could get from my family because I seen they didn't work. And they didn't work in my life because, so that part of it I could change myself. And my grandmother gave me help because my grandmother was not involved in anything like that at all. Because when my grandfather passed away, he died in Palm Harbor, Florida, and they were loading his pickup coming back here because they'd been staying the winter down there with my aunt and uncle. And he passed away in Tarpon Springs, Florida, in a hospital. And he got my grandmother to come up close to the bed in the emergency room there where they had him. And he said, Mama, I want to ask you a question. And she says, are you supposed to be talking? and
got on to him a little bit.
He said, well, I want to know something. Because he said, this might be the last time I get to ask it. And he says, have you ever regretted marrying me? My grandma said, no, Dad. Said, you know better than that. Said, I wouldn't have chosen anybody else if I could. And she said, I've had a good life with you. He said, well, that's what I wanted to know. And she said, well, they're going to get you straightened out, and we'll get up to South Carolina. He said, no, Ma. I said, this is it. I said, well, the way I see it, said, it's just as close to heaven from Florida as it is from South Carolina. And so that was pretty much the end of their conversation. So, you know, he wanted to know before he passed on, and he was pretty sure this was it. He had several small strokes too, and he didn't want to leave here with her without being able to make it right before he left, if he could. And so that was the deal with them there. I wanted to bring that to you. And because I learned a lot from my grandmother and grandfather. John 14 and grandfather didn't know the mystery truth, but he knew how to handle things about as well as anybody I knew. Okay, we're going to go to John 14. We're going to look at one through six, and it says John 14. It's on page 1555 if you have a companion Bible. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And whither I go, you know, and the way you know. And Thomas said unto him, Lord, know not whither thou goest, and how can we know the way? And Jesus straightened him out and said, Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Full stop. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. And so that was John 14, 1 through 6. Now we want to go toward the end of the book and look at the book of James. And we're going to look at James 5:5. And we're going to read 5, 6, and 7. Let me get over here where I can find it. James 5:5, 5, 6, and 7. It says, you have lived in pleasure on the earth and been wanton. You have nourished your hearts as in the day of slaughter. You have condemned and killed the just, and he doth not resist you. Be patient, therefore, brethren, unto the coming of the Lord. Behold, the husbandman waiteth for the precious fruits of the earth, and had long patience for it, until he received the early and latter rain. Now let's read 8:2. It says, be ye also patient. Establish your hearts. Full stop there. And he goes on to say, for the coming of the Lord draweth nigh. So those are good verses to remember and to get an understanding of. So she that liveth in pleasure is dead while she liveth. So we understand that while we're living, we're considered to have died with Christ, but we're still living here awaiting our day too also. We need to always remember that. In verse 7, we'll go back to the King James Version in verse 7 and said, and these things give in charge that they may be blameless. And they is the ones that we read about, the she there in verse 6, they were living in her pleasure, that she wanted to do what she wanted to do and not worry about anything else. So I'm going to read my notes here, and it's a little bit different from what we read there. And I put, and these things, that's the way it starts out, of the last verse. that we read. Give in charge to the widow who without hope cannot see herself well hurting also of others. Because if you've got someone living in pleasure, generally someone else is trying to be involved in that same situation with you or around you. Okay. That they also may change from this death and have life and may be now and may now become blameless, because to know God can certainly render you blameless because of what He has done for us and for our sinfulness. So, yes, the lady that lived in pleasure herself could be blameless if she wanted to change. But that's not always the case. And so, Paul is telling Timothy and giving him instructions, and a lot of these things that he's going to run into and have to deal with one way or the other. Because it seems like Timothy is going to be, after Paul leaves, that Timothy may be the one to take the mantle and carry this thing on down the road. And so here we are, you know. And so let's look at Jack's rendering in verse 7 here. And it says, out of the Greek, the Koine Greek, it said, and these things charge that irreproachable they may be. And down to the English, the more modern English, it says, and charge these things that they may be irreproachable. So the injunctions and the exhortations of this previous verse are to be charged. The charge is a serious exhortation meant to be considered as a continuous matter. These urgings by Paul are meant to be remembered and followed instinctively. If they are followed, the body members will not be able to be reproached by those that are on the outside. And there's three places here that Jack would like for us to look at. So we see that the last one was three verses. This one is three verses. And there's about four verses in the next one. So the verses are not many here because we're dealing with unbelieving and believing ones, or could be believing ones. And so here we go. And what Jack wanted us to look at was to go back to Job and look at Job 2. And then look at Psalms 25 for a little bit, and then look at Proverbs. So we got three books that are right close together. And we need to look at them and see what it says. So the page number, if you've got a companion Bible, is 668 for Job. Job 2:9. And we're going to read 7 through 10. In order to get what we need to get here. So we're going to go back to the book of Job. Let's see if we got it here. Yep. So, early in Job, the Lord and Satan were dealing with Job. And here Satan has been given the situation to through Satan, and the Lord is talking to him. In verse 6 it says, "And the Lord said unto Satan, Behold, he is in thine hand, but save his life." So Satan had been dealing with Job too, and they were questions, and so the Lord told Satan, okay, if you want to deal with him, you can. He's in your hand, but you're going to save his life. So went Satan forth from the presence of the Lord and smote Job with sore boils from the sole of his foot unto his crown. And he took him a potsherd to scrape himself withal, and he sat down among the ashes. Then said his wife, or Job's wife, then said Job's wife unto him, "Dost thou still retain thine integrity? Curse God and die." But he said unto her, "Thou speakest as one of foolish women speaketh. What shall we receive good at the hand of God, and shall we not receive evil?" In all this, did not Job sin with his lips? After he had the confrontation with Satan and his wife, he still didn't curse God. He wasn't going to do that. Okay. And then he gets on down and goes into the three friend thing. So, we're getting the basics here that, we need to look at there. Okay. Let's turn over to Psalms 25. That's on page 743 we're going to look at. And we're going to read from 20 through 22 of Psalms 25. Okay. And here it is saying, "Oh, keep my soul and deliver me. Full stop. Let me not be ashamed, for I put my trust in thee. Let integrity and uprightness preserve me, for I wait on thee." And then he says, "Redeem Israel, O God, out of all his troubles." So he was dealing with a lot of troubles here. Probably David was. But he wasn't praying for himself. He was asking God to redeem Israel. Amen. To get them back. To get them back to where they need to be. Okay. So we got that one. Now let's go to Proverbs. Okay, in Proverbs it says this, chapter 4, and we're going to read through from 23 through 27. That's on page 870 and 871. We're going to start at 23 and go to the end of the chapter there. And it says, "Keep thine heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Put away from thee a froward mouth." And preserve lips put far from thee. Let thine eyes look right on, and let thine eyelids look straight before thee. Ponder the path of thy feet, and let all thy ways be established. Turn not to the right hand, nor to the left. Remove thy foot from evil. And so that's what Jack wanted us to look at as we look at verse 7 here. The things that we read in verse 6, he says, give in charge to the widow who was without hope and could not see. So it deals with her feet and her eyes. And of course with Job, it dealt with his whole body because Satan had hurt him from feet to the top of his head. So people can get in bad shapes, but there's one thing about that. There is ways that we can justify that is by believing on God and the Godhead. So we got 7 down. Then we get to verse 8. And so let's go back to 1 Timothy 5 and look at the King James Version of verse 8. And so Paul is telling Timothy to change gears a little bit here and to realize that what is supposed to happen sometimes doesn't happen. But if any provide not for his own, especially for those of his own house, he hath denied the faith and is worse than an infidel. That's pretty heavy.
Well, it puts a heavy charge on the head of the household. And not only for, providing for his own, that covers a lot of territory.
Yeah.
You can provide more. You can provide shelter, you can provide clothes, you can provide food, you can provide protection.
It expands way out. Yeah. Well, I mean, we could go over just last one verse for 2 or 3 hours and still not cover.
Oh, I know.
But here we are. It says, but if any or anyone provide not, or does not take thought beforehand to provide for his or her family. However, he or her is able to in a good, honest manner. Now, sometimes people just shirk their duty. They want to hoard their money, or they want to do the things and not, that's not going to benefit anybody but themselves.
And there's an implication here, if you ask me, in this verse, when it says provide not for his own, and then it specifically says, and especially for those of his own house.
Yeah.
So there's two groups, his own and then his own family.
Yeah.
And I think his own is a broader, like, either extended family or family of believers within the assembly.
Yeah, or they could even have slaves in their own house.
Exactly. And we don't know, I don't think we really understand how far that
Well, goes. I think this covers, this trying to cover the whole situation.
Exactly. Yeah.
This verse of scripture does. For his own household. And I put, and especially for those in his care.
Yeah.
Okay. He or her hath denied his faith in God and is worse than an infidel or an unbeliever in that. thing. And the Greek word there is a pistos for an unbeliever. Those that have turned away from God or is not doing the things for their family and for the others that rely on them for these things, they just have failed to do it in a way that they should have. And so it says he's worse than an unbeliever if he does that.
Yep.
And that's true because, you know, I've seen people that work all week, get drunk, go out and spend all their money on the booze, and spend it on themselves, come home without any groceries. Oh, that happened to my wife's family lots. Mm-hmm. And I didn't see it, but I knew it, that it took place because by her testimony it took place. And by my barber at the time, he told me some things about my father-in-law that he didn't know I was in the family. But it was known in town that that's the way it worked, you know. So that was the situation there. Okay, verse 8. And we read down from the Koine Greek. But if anyone in his own, but if anyone his own, and especially household, not provide the faith, he has denied and is unbelievable worse. And then down to the more modern English. But if anyone especially hath not provided for his own household, he has denied the faith and is worse. And is worse unbeliever. And here's Jack's note on this verse. And he says, little respect is naturally held for that one in our culture who do not provide for his family. The civic law recognizes a basic obligation of the man to take care of his wife and his children at whatever level he is able. Although many situations will call for help of outsiders, yet these situations are still regarded as aberrations. The body member is even held to a higher standard. Surely, with the guidance of the head, he will do well if that body member is out of touch and struggling in his faith. He will probably also struggle in his basic obligations to his family. And there's four places here. Two in James, one in Galatians, and one in Revelations in verse 8. So, let's see what they say here in verse 8. Okay, we'll start with Galatians. We're going to go to Galatians 6. It ain't that far back in the Word, but we'll go to Galatians 6. In Galatians 6, we're going to look at 7 through 10. And here's, no. Yeah, I hadn't turned the page yet. 7 through 10 of Galatians 6. And I know you've heard this, and I've heard it in my lifetime. Verse 7 says, be not deceived. God is not mocked, full stop. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. But he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. And let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. As we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them who are of the household of faith. And so that's what we find there in the 8th verse of 1 Timothy 5 in Galatians. Now, let's go back to the book of James again. And we're going to go to James 1 and read 9 through 11. Then we're going to go to chapter 2 and look there. But James 1, 9 through 11. It says, let the brother of low degree rejoice in that he is exalted. But the rich in that he is made low, because as the flower of the grass, he shall pass away. For the sun is no sooner riseth with a burning heat, but it withereth the grass, and the flower thereof falleth, and the grace of the fashion of it perished. So also shall the rich man fade away in his ways, but blessed is the man that endureth temptation, full stop. Blessed is the man that endureth temptation. You have got to be able to put it behind you. Okay. Chapter 2. We're going to look at 14 through 17. I've turned the page in the Companion Bible. And I'm going to read 14 through 17. And here's a question. What doeth it profit, my brother, though a man say he hath faith and have not works? Can faith save him? If a brother or sister be naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you say unto them, depart in peace, be ye worn and filled, notwithstanding you give them not the things which are needful to the body, what doth it profit? Even so faith, if it hath not works, is dead, being alone. So, if you see somebody with need, true need, and they can't do any better, certainly it is important that we need to help them also. Okay, then Revelations 2:13. I don't get to Revelations much. Church of Ephesus, 2:13. Well, the Church of Pergamos. He says, he that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. He that overcometh shall not be hurt of the second death. And to the angel of the church in Pergamos write, these things saith he, which hath the sharp sword with the two edges. And we know what he's talking about there. I know thy works, and where thou dwellest, even where Satan's seat is. And thou holdest fast my name and hast not denied my faith, even in those days wherein Antipas was my faithful martyr, who was slain among you where Satan dwelleth. He says, but I have a few things against you. So, you know, recompense can be for good or for evil. And so the things that comes to us in the good way is a reward, and the things that go the other way can be fatal, fully fatal. There in verse 8, talking about the things that are to come in the time of Revelations. Okay, how much time we got left, Ron?
It's 9:20.
Okay, we ain't got but one thing to look at as far as Scripture goes, so we'll read verse 9 and read what Jack says in verse 9, because there ain't but one place we want to look at there, and that's John 13. Okay. Verse 9. Let me get back to it. Okay, verse 9 says, let not a widow be taken into the number under 80 years old, having been the wife of one man. Okay. And this is Paul speaking to Timothy of the groups or assemblies. And it says, let or allow not a widow to be enrolled or taken into, be enrolled in those groups or assemblies under the age of 60 years to receive regular attention, and also to be the wife of one man, assuming to be a body member also. Remember, special conditions may apply also to these individuals or to these ones. Okay, that's what I wrote down there that went with verse 9 in my notes. But let me turn the page and read what Jack wrote. Okay, widows enrolled not less than year 60, being of one man's wife. A widow enrolled not less than 60 years, being wife of one man. The assemblies were not made up of the wealthiest group of people. They were spiritually concerned with serving their own primarily. Therefore, the widow had to be at least 60 years of age before she would be put on the roll of those receiving regular attentions. She had to be a woman who had been the wife of one of the believers. Certainly, she would be considered a body member herself. And it says, compare this to John 13, and we're going to look at verses 1 through 10. So back up to John 13, and we'll close with this. We'll close with this in our study for this day. In John 13, says this, now before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew his hour was come, that he should depart out of this world unto the Father, having loved his own which were in the world, he loved them unto the end. And supper being ended, the devil having now put into the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray him. Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands, and that he was come from God and went to God, he rises from supper and laid aside his garments and took a towel and girded himself. After that, he poureth water in a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel wherewith he was girded. Then cometh he to Simon Peter. Here's old Peter. Mm-hmm. And Peter saith unto him, Lord, dost thou wash my feet? And Jesus answered and said unto him, What I do thou knowest not now, but thou shalt know hereafter. Peter saith unto him, Thou shalt never wash my feet. Jesus answered him, If I wash thee not, thou hast no part with me. And Simon Peter said unto him, Lord, not on my feet only, but also my hands and my head. And Jesus said unto him, He that is washed needeth not save to wash his feet, but is clean every whit, and ye are clean, but not all. So he's saying, you're clean, but everybody here is not.
Everybody here ain't, yeah.
There's one there that's not. And so the washing of the feet in those days were big deals. And certainly, Jesus was showing himself as a servant to those that he loved. And you say, well, washing the feet's not a big deal. Well, yes, it is. If the creator of this universe is doing it, it is more than a big deal.
Amen.
How much bigger are you looking for?
And in certain cultures, it was.
Yeah.
It was to looked upon as a really low thing to be doing.
To realize this, it's a lowly thing to do. But he's a servant. He's a servant to those that he loves. And so here, this. If we don't learn anything else, here's our lesson for tonight, that, you know, here we are learning about the things that Christ did. It didn't seemingly it was a big thing, but it turned out it was a big deal, because he told Peter, he said, if I don't do it to you,
you don't have any part with
me. You ain't have no part with me. So here we are. So, thank God for the Word of God. Thankful that He has given us the Scripture to go to, that we can learn and understand from it the things that we truly need to know. That sometimes we kind of say, that's not a big thing, but truly it is. If He says it's something like that, then we certainly need to take it to heart. And not only to heart, but to mind too.
Amen.
That, we sometimes need to be reminded of things. This is what Paul is doing to Timothy here. He's reminding him of a lot of things that he may run into in his lifetime that need to be taken care of. And so this is the professor talking to the student.
Amen.
with Paul talking to Timothy.
One of them cleaning lessons that Peter got. Remember the sheep?
Yeah.
The Lord told him, what I say is clean, is clean.
Yeah. And he said, oh, no, Lord,
I've never eaten
none of that stuff. He said, well, you need to look at what I say is clean now, sir.
Amen.
That may entail a little more than just something to eat. So, God bless you, folks. Thank you for being with us tonight. Now, I hope you got something out of that, because it's a subject that we can't say, well, we've covered it all. We can't do that, because we don't know people's situations. And everybody's is a little different. But here, when we're looking at the things that as a believer that we need to carry out and to deal with. And this is what Timothy was going to have to do when Paul was not there anymore. And it appears like that he's the one that's going to have to take the mantle and father it on. And so here we sit 2,000 years later, still talking about this hope we have.
Amen.
And so something good happened from it, because it's been carried on.
Absolutely.
So God bless you, folks. Love you.